Did you know that growing old is inevitable, but growing up is optional? And God desires that we, His children, would grow up in Him, and grow up in wisdom. You know, the way to grow up in the Lord is through wisdom, and the title of tonight's message is Wise Up. Wise Up. If you've been tracking with me, you know that our last gathering when we studied in Proverbs chapter 7, Solomon, he wrote about the immoral woman and how those who pursue that kind of lifestyle without realizing it, the end of that lifestyle is destruction. The immoral woman can also represent a ungodly lifestyle and all the pleasures of this world. And chapter 8, in stark contrast to the immoral woman, is going to really emphasize and exalt wisdom. And Solomon is taking wisdom, which is an impersonal attribute of God, and personifying it. And this is a common literary feature of wisdom literature. And the reason why Solomon personifies wisdom as a woman is because the Hebrew word for it, orma, is feminine in nature. And so we're going to be looking at six things that I have taken from the text, six ideas that I've funneled down to crystallized statements. I'm sure there are many, and if you were to study through this chapter, you can do the same thing and grab some application for you. But I'm going to pass on these six things, and then we'll get into our text. And if we have some time, we'll even go through chapter 9, should the time permit. Number one out of the six is that wisdom, and we'll see this in verses 1 through 4, is available to everyone. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter what your background is. If you want to grow more, wisdom is available to you. If you want to change, wisdom is available to you. It's never too late to start really pursuing wisdom. The second thing is that wisdom teaches, because wisdom has a voice, and what wisdom teaches is the ways of righteousness. And righteousness is so important. It's if you want to be healthy, the best health that you can have on this earth, generally speaking, is by living righteously. It promotes the best health that you can have. I understand we're all subject to different things because of the fall, and any of us can come under some kind of sickness and illness, and we believe that God does heal, but if He chooses not to, we are subject to these things. We understand that very clearly. But righteousness is the correctness of thinking. You know how many people don't think right? Look around. Look around. I would imagine all of you were all looking at people that at times we didn't think right. But then the scriptures have come and God started to train us and teach us. And if we accept it, if we receive it, we start thinking right, because we don't know. We don't know. When you were born, what did you know? You were born and you were existing. And to what degree you were aware of that, do you remember? You remember when you were born? You remember? What did you see that day you were born? Do you remember? Yet you were existing. Did you know your name? And think about it. Somebody changed your diaper. You didn't even know who did it. Somebody fed you. You didn't even know. You're existing completely dependent on others, and you didn't even have a clue that you, what your needs were, your name, your address, your mom's name, your dad's name. What's the point? You didn't know nothing. I didn't know nothing. We didn't know nothing. And we're learning. We're learning. And there's so much to learn, isn't there? There's so much to know. Isn't it true that when you really start researching something, you become more aware of how little you know? Or when you think you know something, and then you talk to somebody who knows more than you, when you're around people who know less than you, you feel good about yourself. And you're able to have a false sense of confidence until you get around people who know more than you. And you start to talk, and you say something stupid, and then you realize quickly, I better keep my mouth shut. That seems to happen to me quite often. But we don't know. But we know the one who knows everything. He thinks right, always. Your Creator never, ever, ever has a wrong thought. Ever. He's never thought anything that's out of line. Or what we might say, that's some whacked out thinking. He's never thought anything whacked out like I have. Amen, sister. So true. Righteousness is not only correctness of thinking, but it's correctness of feeling. How many times we don't feel right? You ever wake up and you just don't feel right? Maybe that's how you feel today. You just don't feel right. You're depressed, you're discouraged. Remember, the Lord loves you, He's with you. And you're precious in His sight. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You're very special to Him. No matter how you feel. You know, it's funny because our feelings, they're like a roller coaster, aren't they? They can be. And it really takes focused effort to control our feelings. But some days you just don't have it. You just feel like, I better go and lock myself up in the room. Because if anyone comes in contact with me, I'm afraid of what I might do to them. You ever feel that way? Or I'm afraid of what they're going to think about me after. This would be very out of character for them to see me this way. Because I just feel so depressed, so fill in the blank. But God, He's consistent. The scripture says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no variation in His character. He's not one day, I feel so good today. Let me bless some of my people. You know, he doesn't feel, and he doesn't, he always is perfect. So we may not feel right, but we go to the one who always is perfect and helps us. And he's been where you're at. The scriptures tell us he's been, he was tempted in every point, even as we are, yet he never sinned. Therefore, he's able to aid those who are being tempted. He comes along to help us. And the Holy Spirit, Comforter, comes along. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit, if you're not feeling great today, God understands. He's going to comfort you and encourage you. And you know what? The best is yet to come. There's going to be a better day. You know, isn't that true? Don't, let me tell you this, though. If you're really, really down and out, don't make any major decisions now. Wait till you feel a little bit better. Give it a couple of days. Anyway, correctness of thinking, correctness of feeling, and correctness of doing. And this is really the message that wisdom preaches. She's always teaching us the correct way to think, the correct way to feel, the correct way to respond, a way that's pleasing to God. And so that's the second thing. The third thing is that wisdom is more valuable than worldly riches. Yes, it is. Some of you may think, what? What? Yeah. If you had an option between worldly wealth and riches, go for wisdom. We'll see how wisdom also brings with it riches. The fourth thing is that wisdom advances those that love her. The fifth thing is that wisdom is the foundation on which all life is built. And then the sixth thing is simply this. Wisdom is a choice. Wisdom is a choice. And so we begin in verse 1. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the hill, or the high hill rather, beside the way where the paths meet. He's talking about the crossroads. Wisdom is in those crossroads of life. Here, I'll get back to that. Look at verse 3. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. She begins and she says, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. You see, wisdom, again, is available to everyone. Wisdom is in the public places. This is the idea. Wisdom is there. Just like the immorality, the immoral woman is there, but she likes to seduce the young men. And she likes to do things in secret and in private. Wisdom is out in public, calling out to humanity, saying, listen, come, come. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. Are you at crossroads? What do you think about when you think about crossroads? A decision needs to be made. How many times have you made the wrong decision in your life about somebody or about something? And that's turned around and bit you where the sun don't shine. How many times? And then after, you say, why? Why did I do that? And sometimes you even had a gut feeling. It's like, no, don't do that. But your flesh, your desire, or whatever it was, it just, you caved and you went. But hopefully you learn from that. A wisdom will spare you. Some of you may be wondering, well, what is wisdom? Wisdom simply is skill for living. Skill for living. It's not knowledge. It's not understanding. It's not information. It's none of those things, although those things play a part in what wisdom is. But wisdom is the ability to take that information, that knowledge, the understanding. It's the proper application of what you have learned and know and understand consistently. It's skill for life. Wisdom provides that. She provides that skill for you to be able to do life well. Let me ask you, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many years were you out there not doing life too well? I mean, all of us have stories, huh? When you were just living, you really didn't know about life. Maybe you thought you did, but you really didn't know. There's an emptiness inside, a void, and you're trying to figure this thing called life out. You got into this relationship, and you managed that all inappropriately. That didn't pan out too well. Perhaps multiple times. Or maybe, and you got into this career, things started to go well, the money came in, you didn't quite manage that right. For you, it wasn't drugs, and it wasn't wasting your money, it wasn't going out and doing what people do that's not right. But for you, it might have been, I want that. I'll charge it. And you started to go past your means, and you put yourself in, strangled yourself because of your finances. Or, how many relationships, how many bridges have you burned? Now, I'm not talking about the intimate relationships, parents, siblings, friendships. Anyway, you get the point. You had a past. And then you came to Christ. And then you came to Christ and you started to receive His wisdom, His word. And boy, hasn't your life changed? Amazingly. The finances, in order. The relationships, many of them restored. Your goals, you have purpose now. The void's gone. You think right. And we still make mistakes here and there, but you look at your life from times past to where you are now, boy, with God's help, haven't you, how can I put this, grown up? Haven't you wised up? What a difference, huh? Wisdom makes. Man, thank God that He opened our eyes, and as we've pursued Him, we've been changed by His words of wisdom. And so wisdom gives direction and provides the resources that we need to give us, to direct us in the right paths when we hit those crossroads. How does that pan out? Well, I don't know about for you. Maybe you might identify with this. Maybe the Lord works in you in a little bit different ways. But you're confronted with a crossroads, a decision. And for me, I spend time just seeking the Lord's face. I don't make any decisions. You know, sometimes there's decisions that need to be made that if it goes south, you really don't care. You know, so you bought a pair of shoes and they only lasted 6 months instead of a year because you really didn't research. It's not going to kill you. When you got to make some decisions that can impact a lot of people or can impact your family, or bigger decisions, you know, you don't just jump into something. So anyway, I sit and pray and really wait on the Lord until I get clear direction, and He gives it. He gives it. And there's nothing greater than when God gives you that peace. He gives you that wisdom and that peace. And usually He says, yes, no, or wait. It really boils down. And that's what I need. I need simplicity. I need simplicity. Sometimes I want to run, and God says, wait. I've done it before. I've ran prematurely, and I learn. You learn, right? You learn the lessons. Hopefully you learn all it takes is one time. Better yet, if you can learn from other people's mistakes, that's even better. I don't want to rejoice too much, but that is even better. You don't want to rejoice because people have you know, but if somebody else is, and aren't there some people in your life that God is, I believe God's divinely put there in your life because He wants to teach you how not to do something. Yeah. Those are good lessons too. So, He either says yes, He'll say no, or He'll say wait. And that's great. It's simple. And if you're able to work with that, God can work with you. How many of you can say, yeah, amen, that's true. I've experienced that. And the rest of you, I'll pray for you. No. I'm sure you raised your hands too, but in your hearts, or you just aren't one of those people. I've been there at different conferences. I'm not going to raise my hand just because He said raise my hands. Because you got that rebellious spirit, you know. And I know. I've been there too, and I'm learning from your mistakes right now. No, I'm only kidding. You're not going to come back next week, are you? No, I'm only kidding. We got to have fun. Fun is good. And so wisdom is available to everyone because wisdom is out in the public. Wisdom is there. And she's calling out to all of us. And she calls out especially, I mean, to everyone, but especially to those who are simple, those who are fools. You know, the word fool and foolish is found in the book of Proverbs many, many times. So if I want biblical substantiation for using that word, it's there. Because there are fools. I've been a fool. I've done a lot of foolish things. You've done a lot of foolish things. Well, most of you. I can't speak for all of you. We all can understand what foolish looks like. Either we've been foolish or we've seen fools. And it's such a good thing to know that wisdom reaches out to fools. Or maybe other people will give up. God doesn't give up. God always reaches out. The only ones God can't work with is we'll see in the scriptures, is the scoffers. The ones that make mockery at the things of God. The prideful. The arrogant. God, He hates that kind of stuff. He doesn't work with the rebellious or the stubborn. It's hard to work with stubborn. Have you ever met somebody that's stubborn? Anybody in your family that's stubborn? Yeah. Man, trying to move a stubborn person. You could physically move them, but to get them to do what you're asking them to do. Yeah, I see him too. And that's why I say, right? We say, oh, God, help us. God, help me. You know, but we say, God, help us, and God works with us. But there are some people that say, God, I don't want your help. And so God can't help them. But wisdom does call out to the simple ones. To those who are easily seduced, easily led astray, gullible. And there are a lot of people that are like that. There's a lot of people that are like that spiritually. They're gullible when it comes to spiritual things. They'll hear a wind of doctrine. And it sounds so exciting, and the person communicated is very passionate, and they get all excited about something. It's like there's things that sweep through the church. I've been in church life now since 1989. Wow. And time just goes on. But boy, I remember the holy laughter. How many of you remember that? You know, that was something that came and went, and laughing in the spirit, and different things have come through the church. Even now, there's still things that could be debatable, and some of you will get into arguments with me if I brought it up, because maybe you went to go see the movie about the little boy in heaven and his experience, and you've read the book, and now you're going to say, Pastor, there's something wrong with that, and you're going to be upset with me if I say, well, I look to the scriptures, not to a little boy who died. And I mean, that's all sounds great and everything, but you know, Jesus, he talked a little bit about heaven. We know that there is a heaven. We know that there's a hell. Paul said he was caught up into the third heaven, and he saw things he couldn't even put into words. I mean, that's Paul, the apostle. The Bible talks about heaven, but it doesn't give all these great details. Now, if you follow that kind of stuff, that's your choice, and I'm not going to treat you any different. It's not a major, it's not a sin issue, it's not. Anyway, the point that I'm making is that there are folks in the church, and I'm not saying you're gullible and you're silly, and you're so don't take it the wrong way. I'm just saying that it happens. There's things that come into the church, and people follow it. And then they get let down because there was not too long ago, I don't remember what it was, but there was something going on in Florida, and that guy turned out to be some real scammer. I don't remember all the details. But God doesn't want us, His children, to be easily seduced by winds of doctrines, false teachings, and things like that that sound good, but really aren't sound doctrine. Well, wisdom also, just in general, calls out to those that are simple, those that are seducible, easily led astray. And so wisdom calls out. She teaches the ways of righteousness. Verse 5, O you simple ones, understand prudence. Prudence is careful, good judgment that allows someone to avoid danger or risks. Now think about that. That's quite interesting. Wisdom tells us to understand prudence. Now, there are sometimes people that talk about being a risk taker. And no guts, no glory. You know, and you got to take a risk. You got to. And yet, wisdom teaches us to understand prudence. And to understand that there are risks out there, and you got to be careful because you want to avoid risks that aren't truly how do I put this? Let me put it this way. Some people have blind faith, and they just do things, and they're little risk takers, and they say it's all for the Lord, and yet God's not leading that. And sometimes in the process, there's a lot of casualties, people get hurt, the Lord's not in that. But if the Lord calls a person to do something, and although it might seem like there's a risk, there's no risk if it's the Lord. Because if He's called you to serve Him, and He called you to do something, even though you may not have the means, you may not understand how it's all going to work out, there's no risk involved. That's what we call faith. You trust God, and He provides. He takes care of it. I've seen that happen over and over again. I still haven't seen it happen today. But there's no risk involved. Now, other people might warn you. Oh, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, but I know it's the Lord. I know it's the Lord. It's biblical. It's scriptural. I understand. It's the Lord. I know. And if it's the Lord, there will be fruit. There will be evidence that it is the Lord. Time will tell. And if a person, God is working and they're stepping out, trusting in the Lord because it is truly the Lord, then He's going to take care of it. But if it's not, you got to really know that whatever it is that God's putting on your heart, that it's truly the Lord. Because if it's not, you're taking risks, and those things can set you back. There's so many people throughout my history in the church that I've known that have felt it was God. They went and done some risky things, and it set them back. Some of them aren't even walking with the Lord anymore. So how can that be God? How can that be God? From what I understand, my obedience to Christ is supposed to draw me closer to Christ. It's supposed to strengthen me and cause me to bear fruit for His glory. And so, wisdom teaches the way of righteousness, and one of the things is to understand prudence. Have that careful, good judgment that allows someone to avoid danger or risks. And then wisdom also continues and says, "Oh, you fools." That is, those that are stupid. Look it up in the original language. The word that describes fools is stupid or silly. Those who really don't take life seriously. Everything's lighthearted. Everything's a party. Silly. Gullible. Stupid. He says, be of an understanding heart. Start taking things a little bit more serious. It's time to grow up. It's time to wise up. Everything's not lighthearted. Everything's not always a joke. Everything's not always silly. There are serious things in life. And gain an understanding heart. And in verse 6 it says, listen, for I will speak of things that are excellent. I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them, and they are all plain to him who understand. Anyone who wants to understand, there's no hidden messages. It's not really, ooh, and wisdom is straightforward. And for anyone who wants to understand, if they seek to understand, they will find and encounter wisdom. She is available. So when people say, oh, I don't understand, well, it's because you're not seeking. I still don't get it. Well, don't quit. Oh, it's been 2 months. It's not enough time. You keep at it. Good things don't come easy. I don't know why it is that we think that everything, when it comes to God, it must be easy and simple. And if it's not easy and simple, it's not the Lord. If that was the case, I wouldn't be pastoring. And many of you wouldn't be doing the things that you're doing. Some of you wouldn't be married. Some of you would have those kids in adoption. Put them up for adoption. Nothing good comes easy. Marriage, good. Easy, not so easy. Parenting, good. Easy, not so easy. Following God, awesome. Easy, not so easy. Jesus said, the way to life is difficult, and few are they that find it. I don't know why we think that when we come to Christ, everything's going to be so easy. Now, everything is easy when our hearts are right. When we say, God, I'm done. I'm done trying. I'm done trying to make it happen. I'm done thinking about it. I'm done trying to, again, take matters into my own hands. I'm done striving over it. God, I'm broken. I'm tired. I'm done. And he says, I've been waiting for you to get to this point so I can help you. You've been telling me you want my help, but you're doing it all on your own. How can I help you? You're getting nowhere. And then we say, oh God, forgive me, have mercy on me, cleanse me. I'm sorry, Lord. I just surrender it to you. And then it's easy. It becomes much easier. The circumstance change? Oftentimes they don't. But what changes? We do. We change. Our perspective changes. We grow. We mature. We develop. We're capable or more capable to handle more of the load. And other times, hasn't it been those times, they don't happen often, but when you finally stopped wrestling with it, it was like shortly thereafter, God did what you were asking. That's happened. God's things are straightforward. And sometimes we just have to be patient and wait until we gain the understanding. And that's something to seek after. Nothing good just comes that easy. Sometimes it does, but oftentimes it doesn't. But wisdom does preach the message of righteousness. That is the most healthiest lifestyle. I think about righteousness, think about if you didn't turn to Christ sooner, what could your life look like now? If you were a person that pursued pleasure, think about I wonder what kind of diseases you could have picked up now. Imagine, your life could have been so different, but you turn to Christ and you're living righteously. Or what kind of real serious financial straits could you be in? What kind of trouble with the law could you be in? And those things all bring, whether it's disease or stresses, or that impairs you and your health and your quality of life. But when you're doing what's right, you don't have much to worry about. I remember years ago I used to drink and smoke pot and do all these things that were illegal. And when I was driving, and if there was a cop, I would think, uh-oh. Even if the cop wasn't aware of me, I was just so paranoid because I knew I had things with me that were illegal. And now, and for years, I don't do any of that kind of stuff. I could see an officer. I'm looking at them now. Hey, how's it going? There's no worries. Sometimes Nina says, you better slow down. I say, honey, he's not going to pull me over. I'm driving because I just feel so confident. Other times I've gotten pulled over. And I say, how you doing, officer? Good. Do you know why? No, I have no clue. Why'd you pull me over? Were you going too fast? I had no idea. Where are you going? I was going to the office. I go, Pastor Churchy. Oh, all right. Well, you have a good day, Pastor. I mean, it's just things have changed. Now watch. Tonight I'm going to get pulled over and get a big ticket. I can't tell you. I've gotten pulled over. And really, I didn't know. I wasn't intentionally doing wrong. It wasn't like, oh, cop, let me slow down. It wasn't, I was just, one time we were coming from a wedding, and it was the dinner. And so we were coming back, and we were just talking. It was me, Nina, Janelle, I don't remember who else was there. And so we're talking, and I'm all dressed up. And we're going through one of these towns out here in the West. I mean, it's like Millbury. And and I'm driving through town, next thing I get pulled over. And Anyway, so I didn't get a ticket, but I don't want to get off on a... I start on a text and then land on a tangent. That's not good. But anyway, the whole point of it is this. All right, so what happened was... I got to tell you this story. What happened was... So I was driving, and I got pulled over, and the officer, he says, hey, do you understand why I pulled you over? I had no idea, no clue why. And he says, where are you coming from? I told him where I was coming from. I told him I just officiated a wedding ceremony, and I pastor the church here in Brockport. And he says, he said, yeah, New Beginnings? Yeah, I've heard of New Beginnings. Yeah, I know where it is, and whatever. And then he says, all right, well, you have a good day, Pastor. And he just let me go, you know. I thought, wow, what a blessing. And that's amazing. Anyway, the whole point of it is when you're not doing anything wrong, you really don't have anything to worry about. When you're doing things that aren't right, then you've got that preoccupation. And that when you're not living in a way that's right, that's righteous, that can bring a lot of unhealthy issues. Think about all the stresses related to people that, for example, divorces and the children and you know, murder that happens and abuses that happen, all because people don't live righteously. But wisdom teaches the way of righteousness. Now, wisdom in verse 10 is, we're seeing through verses 14, is more valuable than worldly riches. And in verse 10, he says, receive my instruction. And wisdom is something that must be received. First, it must be listened to, and then it must be received. It must be accepted. He says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire, think about this, all the things that one may desire. Think of all the things that you desire. Think of all the things that you can desire in this world. Aren't there so many things to desire? And he says that all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. And he says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Discretion is the capability to choose correctly what should be done in a particular situation. It also is the quality of being careful about what you do and say so that people are not embarrassed or offended, the quality of being discreet. And then now he says something that is so profound concerning wisdom. And again, I remind you, wisdom is personified here. Wisdom is not a person. This is an attribute of God, something that's immaterial, but this is poetic language. And so he personifies wisdom, but wisdom, she says something so profound. She says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now, in chapter 10, it tells us, I'm sorry, in chapter 9, verse 10, it tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To fear God is the beginning of wisdom. So, true wisdom is rooted, we understand this, in a relationship with our Creator. And apart from that relationship, you cannot have the wisdom that God is talking about through His Scriptures, through His Word. And how do you know if you fear God? Because you hate evil. When God influences your heart, you begin to develop a hatred for what is not pleasing to God. You hate what is evil. Now, we battle, don't we? We struggle. Some of us may be saying, yeah, but yesterday I was thinking about that. That's not good. And we understand that. That is that sinful nature. But do you like that? No, you hate that. You hate that about yourself. I hate that about myself. I hate that nature that is evil, that's bent towards doing wrong. And that's the fight that we are in. I wasn't in that fight before. That's not right, but it was fun. Yeah, but you shouldn't do it. Why? Nothing bad happened. You do it. I'm still here. Let me do it again. And you go farther and farther, and what you don't realize, and what I didn't realize, and many of you do realize now because we're on this side of it, is that what seems great, sin is pleasurable for a season, but then the consequences, the negative consequences are horrific. And it can bring so much damage and devastation. But that doesn't happen right off the bat unless you do something real stupid. Like get so hammered you don't even know who you are and where you are, and people are beating the snot out of you, and then you suffer after because you're just acting like an idiot. That's happened to some. You get that liquid courage, and then you find out other people are telling you how stupid you were because you don't remember. Anyway, so the thing is that we hate that about ourselves. We hate that evil, sinful nature. But we're in that battle now. And that's a good place. And you're growing. You're not the same. You've conquered more ground, haven't you? There's areas that used to be a problem for you that now, by the grace of God, you've conquered. They're no longer a temptation. You've grown. And now there's new things that come up. But you, by the power of the Holy Spirit and through spiritual maturity and wisdom, you're able to manage them in a way that they don't have the same kind of disabling and disarming effect on you as perhaps it could have some years ago. You've grown, so you're able to handle more. That's wonderful. But we fear the Lord, and we who fear the Lord, we understand that we fear the Lord because we really do hate evil. We don't like those things that are bad and ungodly. Now, here he starts to define, bring some definition to what it is, and he names four things. One is pride. You know what the biggest problem with pride is? The biggest problem with pride is that it's what is at the center of pride. Are you following me? I is at the center of pride. That's the biggest problem. Yes. That's what Satan got into. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Trying to establish himself even beyond or equal to God. And that pride just began his downfall. A pride, inordinate self-importance. We all have our struggles with pride. Arrogance is the displaying that attitude towards others. The evil way. And the perverse mouth. And she says, I hate that. I hate that. These things I hate. She says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. She says, I am understanding. I have strength. And this is what we need. That's why it's more valuable than rubies and treasures. You know, rubies and treasures and all those things of this world, what are they? The things of this world, the wealth, it's only temporal. It's only temporal. Jesus said, what profit is it if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Now, if you have riches and wealth, that's great. God blesses with that. If you're obeying God, following the Lord, and your possessions don't possess you, but Christ possesses you and you have possessions, praise God. That's awesome. I want to see you after service today. No, just kidding. No, don't see me after service today. Praise God. There's a lot of a wise, godly man. Solomon. Solomon was loaded. There's nothing wrong with riches as long as your riches don't have you. But riches and the things of this world, as we know, is only temporal. Wisdom and the things of God are eternal. That's a long time. Eternity is a long time. This life is very short. So we got to put the emphasis on what really matters, and that's the eternal. And wisdom is more valuable than anything this world has to offer. And wisdom gives us not only the relationship with God and life eternal, but it gives us a quality of life now. And it helps us, we who are learning or seeking, because we don't know. We think we know, but we don't know. You know how many smart people there are out there, but they don't have wisdom? Wealthy people, and they don't have wisdom. Famous people, they don't have wisdom. And some people, that's all in one. They're smart. They have wealth. They have success, or they have their fame. But then you look at their life, they have no life skills. Their life's a mess. They don't know how to have a relationship. In and out of marriages, their kids are all over the place, all different parents involved. Financial troubles, and you think, how can you be, you're so wealthy and now you're bankrupt? I mean, I don't get it. So, wisdom is different than success, and the things of this world, as I said, they're not going to last, but wisdom is eternal. Wisdom advances those that love her. Look at verse 15. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. Another translation, the King James Version, reads it this way. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. And so, see, pursuing wisdom primarily also brings wealth. It doesn't necessarily mean the wealth of this world and riches, although it could, but it brings a value to who you are, and you become a way more valuable individual. And it does also give you wisdom in how to manage yourself, manage your spouse, or your marriage rather, manage your children as a couple, manage your finances. When you have wisdom, that permeates every aspect of your life. How to work, how to be a good employee, a good employer. Now, wisdom is the foundation on which all life is built. In verse 22, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting. And of course, wisdom is eternal because God is eternal. And wisdom is not God, but God has wisdom. God is wise. He is, and so wisdom has always been there. And this is kind of tough, trying to take these attributes and he's given them human characteristics, the characteristic of a woman, and explaining these types of things. But it's poetic. It's not intended to be understood as literal in a sense. This is poetic, just expressing these ideas. But it's like when Jesus says, I am the shepherd and we are the sheep. Are you a sheep? No, you're not. You're a human being. That's just... what do you call it? It's just an illustration. But you're not a sheep. Are you an animal? Yeah, filthy animal. You're not an animal. That was from, what movie was that from? Home Alone. Yeah. That was so funny. Anyway. You're a human being. And so some things we understand aren't to be taken literal. They're expressions. It's just to give us an idea. Wisdom has always been there. From the beginning, before there was ever an earth, when there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primeval dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. And again, we understand wisdom was not a real person. And some may say that this was Jesus and think that, and some even teach that this is really kind of like a description of Christ. But there are some attributes here that you couldn't ascribe to Christ. This is talking not about Christ. This is wisdom speaking. Although certainly Christ is eternal and Christ is a creator, but this is not talking about Christ. I don't believe this is Christ. I believe this is wisdom speaking, and at that, this is a personification of wisdom, and it's really not a person. Wisdom is something that is available to all of us, but bottom line, this is the main point of this chapter that Solomon's communicating. Now, therefore, because of how established and the longevity of wisdom, and really wisdom is rooted in God. Listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. And he says, listen three times in two different forms. He says, listen to me, my children. Then in verse 33, he says, hear instruction and be wise. And do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who, what? Listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. So he talks about, listen, I'm out there. I'm calling out to you. I'm available to you. The voice of wisdom is always there. But if you don't listen, you won't receive the blessings that come. If you don't hear, that is receive and obey and do, you don't seek her as we're personifying wisdom, you don't seek her, you don't pursue her diligently, you don't seek her, then don't expect much. That effort falls on us. And so that's why it's that three times, listen, listen, listen. How many of you listen to Charles Stanley every once in a while on the TV? What's one of the biggest things he always says? Listen, now listen, listen. Why is that? Now there's consequences here. Look what he says in verse 36. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. So wisdom is a choice. Wisdom is a choice. And either we choose to listen in order to do, or we reject the voice of wisdom, and there are consequences, but it's your choice, it's my choice. And the question I ask is, why is it that the text says three times, and even more, there was another time it said listen earlier on, but listen, listen, listen. Why? Because we have a problem with listening. Why? Because so often we already know, or we think we know. Don't tell me I'll do it. I know what I'm doing. You know, I have adult kids and I have little children, and sometimes the little children, it's amazing. You try to help them and say, no, I know what I'm doing, and you know that they don't know what they're doing. No, I'll do it. I'll do it. No, I you can't do it. I'll do it. I want to do it. But you're going to hurt yourself. Oh! I told you. Now go to your mom. That's how we can be. Sometimes we'll say, man, I'm not sure what to do about this situation. And you'll go seek counselors. You'll start talking and you start opening up and somebody will start giving you wise counsel. And you think, I ain't going to do that. I'm going to do that. Who do they think they are telling me that? That's how we are. That's how we can be. And so sometimes we got to, you know, check our own hearts, because I know I sometimes am that way. I have a hard time listening. We have to check and make sure. Are we listening? Are you listening to wisdom's voice? How do you do? You know, you can hear wisdom's voice. The Spirit of God dwells inside of you, and the Spirit of God will bring conviction and encourage you and speak to you. How well are you doing that? Are you listening when God says, hey, I want you to submit, or hey, I want you to start doing this in the home, or I want you to start doing this in the workplace, and I want you to submit to your boss, or I want you to be a good example, or I want you to start reading the Bible more. You have been putting that away, you know, that responsibility that you have. You haven't been diligent. You know, you really don't respect your husband. You don't love your husband. Not the way that my Bible, my word tells you. You don't respect him. You really don't love your wife. You're not loving your wife the way I've told you. You're not listening. You're really not spending the money the way that I teach you should spend your money. You're not being a wise steward. You're not listening. Your attitude towards that person at work, I told you I want you to love them, but you're not listening. Are you listening? Are you listening? Wise up and listen. And Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for how faithful you are to us to give us your word. And Lord, all of us, we need to hear these things. I need to hear them. And I thank you, Lord, for this study. I thank you for chapter 8. And I pray, God, that you continue to bless us as we study through this wonderful book of Proverbs. What a great joy it's been. And Lord, I am just so grateful that your word shares things that brings that necessary element for us to grow. And that's, it forces us to confront ourselves. It's self-confrontation. It's such a wonderful thing, and you do that. You bring that about, and we thank you that you so often you do it through your word. And we appreciate you because we know that you care for us. You care for us. You love us, and you discipline us. You share things that we perhaps don't like to hear, but we need to hear them, and we need to consider how we're going to change, how we're going to listen. Help us to listen, Lord. Not just with the ear, but with the heart, in order to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.